congregation today, I invite you to open with me to the epistle of 1 John. We're going to start a new series here. 1 John chapter 1, it's on page 1021 in Pew Edition Bible. We'll look at first five verses. I kind of did a quick overview of the book of Mark. We spoke with Pastor about it, that I will kind of go with big chunks, but maybe with this book I will stay a little longer. So here, please give diligent attention to the reading of God's holy word, 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. As for reading of God's holy word. Let's have a brief moment of prayer. Our Father, we are grateful that you gave us your word. And your word is our light. Your word is teaching us of who you are and what you have done for us and how to please you. Help us now, Lord, to be attentive, to listen carefully, and to glean from your word. May your Spirit work in our hearts and in our minds. And in this hour, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord willing, very soon I will meet my first child. And I look forward to hold my child in my arms. And I will hear the baby's cute talk. I will smell the baby's pleasant smell. Maybe sometimes not so pleasant. I'm sure you all had a chance to hold a baby in your arms. And those of you who are parents, you still remember those good days. Exciting days when your children were cute little infants whom you just met after their birth. And I'm sure many of you would agree with me that a human baby is one of the most beautiful gifts that God gave us. God needs them in the mother's womb. They are fearfully and wonderfully made. And when they're just born, they're beautiful. Some may disagree with me. They may have other things in mind as one of the most beautiful gifts from God. But all Christians will agree that the most beautiful gift from God to us, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He gives the gift of life. The eternal life. Because He is life for us, for His people, and because He is light to all men. And although we haven't seen the Lord Jesus, as the disciples did, we haven't heard His physical voice yet, and we haven't touched His wounds like Thomas did, yet we trust the testimony of the Apostle John here. And we trust the disciples who testified of the Lord Jesus. The Son of God came truly in human flesh, dwelled with them, and who gave them eternal life. That's what John says. And if now, when we only see Jesus today, us, now, if we only see Jesus with our spiritual eyes, and hear His voice with our spiritual ears, and touch His wounds with our spiritual hands, even these thoughts make us so excited and joyous. And nothing in this life can compare to that joy of knowing Jesus, who created us, who redeemed us, who covered us with light to walk in love and obedience to God. Even this thought makes us so joyful. How much more joyful and exciting it will be when we will see Jesus with our physical eyes, hear Him preaching and teaching with our physical ears, and will touch His wounds like Thomas did with our physical hands. Children, just imagine that. Like Thomas did, you will touch Jesus. And I'm sure that will empower us even more today to serve Him in loving obedience and faithfulness. And the Apostle John and the disciples had this privilege to experience it in this life. They did. And they passed it on to others after them. And it went on and on. And finally, the good news came to us here. The good news of eternal life has eventually reached you. And there is no mistake in God's sovereign plan, in God's sovereign will. It is by His perfect timing and perfect providence we receive the gospel. It's not by accident you believed in Him, that Jesus is Lord and light and life. And we believe there is no one else like Him. There is no light or life or Lord apart from Jesus Christ. Many may claim those titles, but only Christ demonstrated and fulfilled all of the three, because only Him was teaching these three things, that He is Lord, light, and life. And there is no like Him. So let's look closely at our passage tonight and see how Jesus is the true Lord. How is He true light and true life in this world? So first of all, let me cover a little bit of the background here of the book of 1 John. All of the three epistles of John are called general epistles or Catholic epistles, because they are not written or were addressed to a particular church, like Corinthians or Ephesians or Galatians, right? No. But they were just addressed to all churches in the region where the Apostle Paul, John, labored. So the Apostle John did not particularly mention his name in any of these epistles. But the Apostle John, still the author of three epistles, all of them. And there are plenty of external and internal evidences of this fact here. As to external evidences, quite a few words that came to us from the early church fathers have quotes from the first epistle of John in them, stating that John wrote these things. He said these things. You remember Polycarp, the disciple of John, he quotes these things. And then disciple of Polycarp, the early church father Irenaeus, and the Clement of Alexandria. And then we see the internal evidences. They're so obvious. Specifically the usage of the same vocabulary here by the Apostle John, as he used them also in his gospel. Even the very beginning of the epistle is almost the same with the gospel. As it says, in the beginning was the Word. You remember in John? And then here, that which was from the beginning. And then even theology of the John's Gospel here, the first epistle of John, very similar. Like famous verse of John 3:16. An emphasis of God's love culminating in chapter 4 in this epistle. In verse 8, John declares that God is love. And from the get-go, the Apostle John establishes his main point here. What is his main point? That which was from the beginning. That we saw Him, heard Him, touched Him. He speaks about against the Gnostics. He emphasizes that Jesus was truly human in human flesh. They saw Him. They heard Him and they touched Him. And the Gnostics, which comes from Greek word gnosis, the knowledge, they taught that they have some special mystical knowledge of salvation from God apart from Christ, which God exclusively revealed only to them, to the special ones. That was the problem of the day. And that includes that Jesus was not a true man. As I was also reading Calvin, he speaks of the issue of his day against Servetus, who was telling that Jesus is just a created thing. He only appeared to be like man, and that salvation is not through Christ. The Gnostic thought that salvation is through your inner meditation. That's why in chapter 4, verse 2, John says, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God that come in flesh. It's not from God. So that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the Word of life. So from verse 1, we can even hear the echo here of Genesis 1. In the beginning God. And we know that Christ has no beginning in His divinity, but He was the one through whom all things were created. In the beginning. But Christ in His humanity came in the beginning, taking upon Himself the human flesh, being the second Adam, the Son of Man, came to repair what the first Adam ruined and broke. What He did? It ruined and broke your life. Your very life. Which was once eternal, but was shattered. And now Jesus, who was from the beginning, came in human flesh to restore all things. To make it even better as it was before. Why? So that the disciples and the world may hear Him, see Him, and behold Him, and touch Him. So that they may understand the Word of life. So remember, in the Old Testament time, the time of types and shadows, the time of temple rituals, laws and sacrifices, all and everything were made for people to see the future Messiah, the Savior. And did they fully and clearly understood what they were doing? No, it wasn't all that clear, and it wasn't sufficient all until Christ came, manifested Himself in human flesh, until he fulfilled every type, every shadow of the Old Testament, living and dying on that cross as the Lamb of God. Only when Christ came to take the human flesh, lived, and he lived, suffered, and died, and raised from the dead, and ascended into heavenly places, when he sent his Holy Spirit, and when that Holy Spirit opened disciples' eyes and ears, only then it became clear for the disciples. And only then it became clear to you, to all of us. And if the disciples, the Jews by blood, grew up in Hebrew culture, in Hebrew society, practiced all these Jewish rituals, still didn't understand it so quickly, and only by the help of the Holy Spirit it's possible to understand, how much is this world, how much more us, the Gentiles, how much we must see and hear and touch this Lord Jesus Christ, touch His wounds, in order to understand and to believe. But Jesus said, right, that blessed are those who didn't touch and didn't see but believed. Believed the testimony of the others, the testimony of the Holy Spirit witnessing through the Scriptures and through the means of grace. But the disciples saw Jesus and they lived with Him. They witnessed with their own eyes all of His miracles. They heard Him preaching and teaching. They even touched His resurrected body, glorified body. And then what they did, they just wrote about it. John wrote this epistle, and God inspired it with the Holy Spirit. And today, they all testify that this is true testimony. And only by the grace of God, you hear that. I didn't see my child yet. I haven't seen him because he's not born. I haven't heard his baby talk. And I haven't held him in my arms. And these thoughts, just these thoughts are very exciting. They excite me. But how much it will excite me when I will literally see my child, hold him in my arms, and hear his voice. Today you only hear Christ's voice through the Scriptures. Right? You see him only with spiritual eyes. But how much it will be exciting when you will see Him face to face, literally. It will be radically different. Thoughts and anticipations are radically different from reality and experiencing real things. It will be real. And that what John is trying to communicate here, it was amazing to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hear Him proclaiming the good news from His own mouth. And live it out by His own action. It was astonishing. It was marvelous to testify Christ on earth. The restoration of life. And taste the taste of new coming, the taste of new life, when He was risen. So Jesus claimed that He is life to all men, that He is light and that He is Lord, and there is no life apart from Him, and there is no light and true worship without Him. So we either worship this Lord, or we worship idols. We either receive life, or the all other ways leads where? To death. And if you receive the Lord, then it means that you first, what? First you receive His light. Because He is light, and God sends Him as the Word, and as the light to understand the Word. And if you understand the Word, then you will know that life. So you see how it's all connected? Christ is all in all. He's the Lord, light, and life. It says here, the light was made manifest. And we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. So from the very beginning, from verse 1, we understand that the very first act of God, the very first act of God, creation. What is it? It's the act of the good news. God created us for our good alone, for your good alone, to fellowship with you. You know, He wasn't lonely, God. He didn't need you to fulfill Him. So that's why the creation from the beginning was the good news. And here in 1 John verse 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, again, God points us to what? To His gospel. The Jesus gospel became incarnate. And the redemption, the salvation, and forgiveness of sins are near us. The new life is with us. The light was manifest, and we have seen it. Testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life. So the gospel, the new and true life. Not the life that you lived before. Just think about it. What kind of life you lived before. Or what kind of life you live apart from Christ when you fall in sin. And John says, if you have sin, you have no sin, you're a liar. Or if you think you're okay, you're a liar. One pastor said that you are much worse than you think you are. But even in this, we see the gospel. When Christ shows us our sin and misery, shows us guilt, shame, and death, what there truly is, only then we understand life. Only then we see the giver of life, He who manifests Himself to us. The Lamb of God took away our sins, the sins of the world. And His disciples, they testify only this. And what happened to them? Testifying the good news. Most of them got killed. And would you proclaim and testify something which is a lie in order to lose your life? Would you do that? That is foolishness. But only because it was true life. It was only because true light and true Lord, they went and testified and proclaimed it, losing their life so that their joy will be complete by God bringing His own unto His fold. You must be insane to do that. If there is no gain for you in all of it, and the disciples so vigorously preached this gospel, only because it was a lie, to gain what? Death? No. They testify what they have seen with their own eyes, heard with their own ears, and touched that the risen Christ, the hope of the world. And they went out and proclaimed Him. Because God has His own in every place and time. And indeed, He called even you through that same gospel. And therefore, John writes, we're writing these things so that our joy may be complete. And this is the message we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and Him is no darkness at all. I'm sure you know about enlightenment, that European intellectual movement of 17th and 18th century, emphasizing reason and individualism rather than God's Word. It was influenced by secular philosophers. They said, oh, we got enlightened suddenly. Forget about God's Word. We try to do the same, to win the hearts of these people who walk in darkness. Now, don't underestimate the simple gospel, the good news, which is power to those who are being saved. And you were saved by it. And did that movement, the enlightenment, did that enlightenment movement enlighten all people? Did it bring any meaning of life? Did it answer the question of human existence, the purpose of our birth and life? No. It's still theory. It's still ideas. And never reality. Can you touch it? Can you hear it? Can you see it? The good news in this? No. All it does work opposite. It reverses God's good order, the gospel. It proclaims death. It stings like a sewer. But Christ offers a real deal here. Being the Lord, the light and the life, He truly enlightens our dark minds and souls, your sinful hearts, right? He shows that, exposes that in you. Your flaws in your reasoning, your inconsistency in your thought, and then your broken reality, your misery, your death. And what Christ does, doesn't condemn. He comes as the reality of the gospel. And with His real body and soul, pays for your sins, redeems you from death. In theory, in ideas, no. In real cross, bringing us the new life, truly enlightening us to see the beauty of the gospel. So again, I have not seen my child, but I'm excited. And when I will see him, I will be even more excited. But how much you will see, when you will see Christ. Just think about it. So that this is what John communicates to us. He did. He saw him. He heard him. He touched him. And you will do also. Trust in him. And trust in his word. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful that you are truly true Lord, true light, and true life. There is none like you. There is no Lord in heaven above or on the earth beneath. You're the Lord of all, even of our souls. As the Lord, you redeemed us. You had power to do so. As the Lord, you enlightened us, you gave us light to see our darkness, to see our sin. And then you enlightened us with the gospel. Because you are the light of the world. And then you gave us eternal life. Oh, Father, help us to be faithful, to trust these things, to believe these things, not to underestimate these things as their power to salvation to all whom you call, even as you called us. So encourage us in the weeks to come. Bring this good news out to others. Share the Lord of Lords, the light of life, the gospel of new life with others. as you did with us. In Jesus' name, Amen.